Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. And no, that wasn't static that you heard. That was the winds of a hurricane, albeit a not very strong one. One just at the hurricane one level on the Saffir-Simpson scale, about 75 miles an hour. Hello, everyone. This is James Dick with North Florida Writer Live. We here at North Florida Writer Live have tried to program according to our designation as a lifestyle show. Lifestyle includes everything. Everything about your life. And if you live in the southeastern United States, and this time of year, you probably aren't thinking about it yet, but it won't be long before you'll start thinking a little bit about hurricanes. The official hurricane season starts in 2 weeks, and it runs from June 1st until November 30th, although the worst part normally around here runs from August through October. That seems to be when the more severe African storms sweep across, gaining strength as they come closer to the U.S. If you look at a map of Florida, you see we are just like a sore thumb sitting out in open water. We're a long peninsula, and we're right on the path of hurricanes as they approach from the mid-Atlantic, because they normally are a little bit above the equator, and they're moving west, and because of the curve of the earth, they gradually start making the turn to the north. The only thing that stops them, of course, is if there's a huge Bermuda high, which pushes them due west. And of course, when that happens, frequently we're lucky and the storms go south of Florida and we miss it altogether. But we've been really blessed here for the last decade. We haven't had any direct hits by hurricanes, although before that we had a bunch. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. We're going to talk specifically about the year 2004. That was very memorable in my mind here in Florida, and it was a pretty rough stretch in late summer. But let's take a look at our pictures. First is a satellite photo of a perfect hurricane. You can see the well-defined eye in the center. If you look at the streaming clouds moving off to the east at the north end of the top of the hurricane donut, that's the outflow, which means it's spinning properly and it's pulling the heat in with the warm water, and it gets cool at the top and then the outflow goes out. That was a big hurricane, and a lot of them are found at that position off the coast of Florida during hurricane season. Thankfully, most of them stay offshore, but some of them do come ashore, and when they do, they can be quite devastating. After 10 years, what makes it even more dramatic here is that we've had millions of people move into Florida during that period. Many of them, of course, want to live along the ocean. A lot of condos built. Matter of fact, the beach is almost hard to see in so many places because of all the building, which I think is kind of a shame, but life moves on. But most of our new residents have no idea what to expect in hurricanes, and they're woefully unprepared. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Next shows a picture of southern Mississippi. Now, Katrina, we all heard about the flooding in New Orleans and the people stranded there. But over in Mississippi, just a little bit to the east, is where the eye of the storm came ashore. And most of that destruction that you see was not caused by wind. It was caused by storm surge, a storm surge of over 20 feet, which went inland for quite a way, and it destroyed everything in its sight. And they're still rebuilding in many parts of Mississippi today. It was very, 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 very tough on them. But they're tough people, and they build back. And they build back, and then they get a hit again. The next one is a hurricane at Galveston Beach a few years back. And it was pretty devastating, very, very high water levels. Not as bad as the one in 1900 that killed 6,000, but then again, houses weren't built as well back then either. But you can look at that stretch of beach there that took the direct hit, and there's basically nothing standing except for that one house on stilts that's high in the air, and who knows what's situation was with the frame of that, if it was in good shape or not. So huge rebuilding effort there. And then the next picture shows what a hurricane does inland. I live in inland Florida. I'm 60 miles from the Atlantic on one side, the same distance from the Gulf on the other, in a stretch of rural land. Probably won't be rural much longer, unfortunately, but that's where I live, and that was my property. And what you're looking at is a place where there was a short, very narrow ditch, which allowed runoff from water from the road and heavy rain. And you can see that it wasn't able to handle it. We got to 14 inches of rain during that storm in 2004. And I put on my hip waders and went down there after it was all done and took a look. Because it takes about 2 or 3 days for that water to subside. And it literally was a lake and a river down there, and it was running fast. If you try to walk across, it would knock you off your feet. That's the warning also for you folks driving cars in hurricanes, and you see a dip in the road or an underpass, be very, very careful. Don't drive through water. If it's more than 6 inches high, it can take a car. Sounds impossible, but it happens all the time. People in Texas know about it a lot. And then there are two pictures showing supplies, and I only do that because most people are ill-prepared for hurricanes. They don't have any food. They don't have any water. And, of course, the electricity goes out, and they're in real trouble. So prepare. I don't think you have to be a hoarder, but it's always a good idea to have at least 3 days, I would say at least a week, of supplies, so that if you can't get out or nobody can get to you and you've got a big problem, you can at least survive. You need a way to cook. Keeping it cold is a real problem. That's why the freeze-dried foods, canned foods, things like that are very important. You can always figure out a way to heat things up with a charcoal grill or whatever, but your refrigeration is going to go unless you have a big generator that can handle everything in the house. Most people have one that's of limited use, and, of course, the air conditioner goes out. We'll talk about some of those things. Next is a picture of a typical American family with young children. And if you're a family person, that's, of course, the biggest concern, life. So you got to watch what's going on, because if something's going to smack you real hard, you better know whether you need to leave or not, because sometimes if you wait too long, you can't. And don't forget also the family pets. That shows quite a family of German Shepherds there. I like that picture. They're not mine, although I have a lot of dogs. But you've got to make sure that you have arrangements made for your pets. If you remember in Katrina, people lost their pets. Some of them luckily found them up to a year and two later and got them back. But that's something a lot of times we don't think about until it's too late. Finally, the picture of the cross, Bible, and the flag, which represents America's dependence upon God as a nation founded by God. And Lord knows, folks, when you get hit by a storm like this, if you're not praying, I'm not quite sure what you're doing, because they can be pretty ferocious. So that sound at the beginning was a hurricane. You notice it's different from a tornado because it never relents. A tornado comes in, usually it's with you for just a matter of seconds, much stronger winds, tighter coiled than a hurricane. But where a hurricane gets you is the time of the wind wearing on your structure, coupled with the rain, which dampens the ground to the point where trees don't hold their rooting. So falling trees, debris flying through the air, and just the sheer magnitude of the length of the wind is what really does horrific damage. I mean, nails and screws can weaken over time, and when they do, things start flying around, particularly metal and stuff like that. It's really dangerous. But anyway, that's our start. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the year 2004. And then after that, we'll come back, and we're going to talk about what people are predicting for this year and a little bit more about what you really need to do to be ready. Some people might say this is a boring topic, but I'll tell you what, folks, it's really not. It's something that's very important. I mean, if you live in the Southeast, anywhere near the coast, you need to be ready for these things. So in picking a song about hurricanes, what could be a more you know, more likely to use than something about the water, because it's the warm ocean water that allows the hurricanes to energize. And you don't want to be on this Sloop John B. when the hurricane hits. Here's the Beach Boys. We'll be back in a minute with more.
We come on the Sloop John B. Brian Wilson! Grandfather and me. Around our top town, sweet and road. Drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken.
Wilson, the Beach Boys, performing live back in 1980 in England. Okay, folks, back to hurricanes. I remember the year 2004 very well. I'm a native of Virginia, and I went through a lot of hurricanes in Virginia and North Carolina as a boy. You're always under the gun anywhere on the East Coast, and they usually miss, but sometimes you get a pretty good blow, and sometimes it could be pretty serious. But except for a storm on the Outer Banks that we rode out when I was a boy, 2004 is probably the worst year I've ever had. And it wasn't necessarily because we were blasted with 120-mile-an-hour winds, because we weren't. But we were blasted many times by either almost or slightly over hurricane winds in an area that is very wooded and somewhat remote in some ways. And so it made the situation so much worse for us. But I think back about it now, and we actually did a pretty good job of preparing, considering. We had been living in Jacksonville prior to that, but we decided we wanted to get out of the city, and we found a beautiful piece of rural land in north central Florida. We had some horses, and we wanted to have a place for them. So we moved down there. But we had some problems getting the property ready, and because of that, we were delayed on moving into our house. So we were relegated to ride out a storm, actually several storms, in a RV, a fifth wheel. Now let me explain about that. It was a nice fifth wheel. It was 35 feet long. But the problem was it's not built to ride out a hurricane. And so we didn't have any choice. We got the word in, it was August of that year. It had been a hot summer and quite wet, but of course we made it all the way to August with no hurricanes. And here it was early August, and the word was coming out that Hurricane Charley was going to be swinging around the southern tip of Florida into the Gulf and was expected to hit Tampa. Well, when I looked at the map, if it followed that course, it would hit us dead on. We got the warnings on this several days in advance. It was a slow-moving storm, and thankfully it wasn't very large in size. So we got supplies. We actually tied down the RV with heavy-duty cable and rebar. We took six-foot sections of rebar that had a bend in the end, drove them into the ground, six of them, and basically ran the cable with a pad underneath over the top of the RV in three different places and put it in tight. It wasn't shaking. And we brought in as much water as we could. And, of course, living in an RV temporarily, we didn't have a whole lot of storage capability for ice, but we did what we could. And when the storm was coming up, suddenly before it got to Tampa, it made a easterly turn. And so we basically missed us. It went in down, of course, at Fort Myers and Punta Gorda. And did a lot of damage. It ended up, picking up speed, Category 4 at landfall, and did terrible damage. Then went out across south of Orlando and out into the ocean. The only thing we got was a little bit of breeze and some beautiful lightning at night in the distance. And that was about it. So we said, well, we dodged that one. Well, a few weeks later, as we approached Labor Day, another one was coming. This one was called Fran. It wasn't nearly as severe when it hit land as Charley had been, but it was much, much larger. The basic scope of that hurricane covered literally the whole state of Florida, and it stayed on the East Coast. It barreled ashore south of West Palm Beach, actually a little bit north of West Palm Beach, or in that area, and it came in and it went kind of at a northwesterly zag across the street. It hit Orlando. It came up our way. We didn't get the eye, but we were on the north side, which is, of course, the worst part because that's where the tornadoes come from. And it smacked us one day early in the morning, just as the sun was coming up, and it hit hard. I had been out and checked out on things. We had our horses all marked, so if they got lost, somebody would know who owned them and where they were because that happened in a storm. And we hunkered things down as best we could, and we went in and rode out the storm. Well, I'm happy to say that the tie-downs worked great. They really did. The only problem we had once was when one of the jalousie windows started to push open a little bit, and I had to go outside and try to reinforce it in a driving rain that felt more like knives hitting me in the face. But it didn't rock. It was just shook just barely, but it didn't rock. So it worked pretty well. But we could hear the trees crashing around us, and we knew the water was coming up because we've got part of our property that's quite low. And that picture I showed, that was down at the other end of the property. And when all was said and done and it finally died out, I went outside, and we had a beautiful-looking lake to our west down where the horses were, or where they would be when they go outside because we had put them in the barn. And I looked down there, and there was high areas, so they were able to get in and out when we needed to, but most of the land was not usable because we had, like I say, about 11 to 12 inches of rain in that one morning. And the power, of course, was out, and that was ending up being the biggest problem because we didn't have power for 7 days. I learned a lot about that in terms of supplies and the best way to keep things. And we really didn't have a situation that would work very well for a generator. Long-term, you'd have to have way more fuel than you can afford to really deal with, most of us anyway, in that type of weather and the situation. So we rode it out. The National Guard even came by, and they dropped off water for people. I had to get in my hip boots and wade up I had to walk up our drive, which has an area that's kind of swampy in the middle, and had to wade through knee-deep water to get up there to get it. But we were able to do that. And so we had water, and we did have canned goods and things that we could cook. I did have a charcoal grill, and we had put a lot of stuff on ice and some big coolers that would keep it for 2 or 3 days. So had it not lasted 7 days, it would have been a lot easier. Actually, the worst part about it was the difficulty in trying to bathe. And I learned a good solution to that problem then. If you're stuck that way in Florida during hot weather, and this, of course, was the end of August or 1st of September, but we'll talk about that at the end when I talk about preparations. Well, we got through that and the power came on. I remember the day the power came on. What a wonder. Hit the bath, take a shower, you know, get ready, clean up, just lie in the cool. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, another one came. This one was called Jean, and it came in basically the exact same way that Francis did, on the East Coast, down below West Palm, and it swung northwesterly across the state. After it left us, it went on over and did a lot of damage also over in Pensacola. But this one was a little bit closer to us, and the winds were a little bit higher. We definitely had hurricane winds. That RV was shaking a little bit more, and but it steadied. The only problem we had was the skylight leaked, so I had to put a bucket over there and keep the water from going all over inside. We were able to do it. We just changed buckets as we needed, and it came by a little bit quicker, though. It didn't quite last just as long, but once again, we had the same problem. More trees down. That meant more fences to repair. It meant more dirt needed to be brought into places that had some washout. And the same other problems with surviving without power for a week. We had friends that helped out on that. We were able to go and take a shower because some areas didn't lose their power. We're basically at the end of the line for our local power co-op. So when a big storm hits like that with damage that's really severe, you know, we're going to be out of power for a while. And so we went through that one, and it finally ended. We finally got the power back, and life was back to normal. But it took a while to get it that way. A lot of cleanup to do, a lot of debris to move. But anyway, we were safe and sound, and all of our animals were safe and sound. So we felt very blessed. But I think about that, and I realized we were not as well prepared as we could have been, but we were pretty well prepared. But most people down here in Florida, particularly if they live in the city, aren't prepared at all. They don't have much in the way of food supplies, food that it doesn't spoil. And, of course, the refrigeration goes out. You know, you got about 24 hours to use things or it goes bad. So I just think it's very important for people to understand that when you live in an area that's subject to storms like this, and even if you haven't had one for a long time and get complacent, you need to think about it very carefully. Because as bad as it is here, when you get in the city, when all that rain hits on top of concrete, it's got to go somewhere. So there's always a lot of flooding. If you look down in Miami or any of the coastal cities, they always get flooding. Jacksonville does. Of course, over in Tampa, it's even worse because it's so low. It's just barely above sea level. So you need to be ready, and if you think it's going to be so severe you can't handle it, you need to get out. So we're going to talk about that a minute. I think it's important to talk about that a little bit because it's just critical. What do you need to prepare, and what do you need to prepare for? Well, the best way to think about preparing for, let's look at the prognostication for this year. The hurricane folks out at Colorado State University. Now you'd think, Colorado State University, what do they know about hurricanes? Well, they have a very, very good center that studies them. Maybe it's because they're in a safe location away and they don't have to worry about what's coming and they could be totally objective. I don't know. But the man that started it all out there is named William Gray. He was a professor, meteorological professor. And he's been doing prognosticating for years and years, and he's usually quite accurate. This year, he's predicting what he calls an average season. An average season means about 5 hurricanes, 2 of which will be major. Major means Category 3 or higher, over 130 miles an hour. And of course, when they get to that level, they start approaching devastation. Good examples, and you may remember, I can think of several. Back when I was a boy, Tamil came into Cameron Parish, Louisiana, and everybody that lived on that island drowned. That thing came in like about 160 miles an hour, and it was just really a killer. Andrew, South Florida, a season when there weren't many hurricanes at all, but Andrew came through South Florida, and of course, down in the Hollywood area, it basically leveled everything in sight. Homestead basically had to be rebuilt. There was nothing left. You know, and then of course, Katrina, we know about the flooding and all the damage and all the death. So that's what you got to think about, because it can always hit. And even though if you live inland, it's usually not as severe in terms of storm surge and those problems as other places. You get major problems with spin-off tornadoes. And, of course, the winds, if you live in pine country, which is what everything in Florida is, pine trees have shallow roots. And when the ground gets too wet, lots of them are going to fall. Or they snap, either way. So, and that's where the damage comes, because power lines are taken out. And when the power goes, it doesn't matter what you have left. It's pretty miserable if you live in a place where it goes into the 90s in the daytime and the humidity's, you know, in the 70 percentiles. That's the worst part about it, because after the storm, you usually get a couple of days that are just as muggy as can be and humid. So what do you need to do to prepare? Well, first of all, you need to keep your eye on what's going on. You know, one of the best sources is the National Hurricane Center, and I go online every morning in hurricane season and just see what's brewing out there, because it'll track storms that start anywhere from Africa down to the Caribbean. So just keep an eye on, you know, where they are or what's likely to become one, and you don't have to be a fanatic about it, but just keep an eye on it so you know what's coming and you can see when it looks like it could be impacting you. Usually 3 or 4 days ahead of time is when you can really tell where they might be heading, although they can change. Hurricanes can be erratic. And of course, you never know exactly where the eye will hit, which is the strongest area. But you can at least get an idea. But remember, if you live inland, when a storm hits the coast, it tends to widen when it hits land and slows down. So even though the winds die some, the spin-off tornadoes and the breadth of the storm can cause total havoc, and, you know, especially with trees. So it's something you need to think about. But he predicts 5 hurricanes and 2 major being those over 130. But he says a total of 12 storms. The others would include just tropical. But there's nothing absolute about that. They just look at the meteorological trends, water temperatures, what the patterns of the airflow look like and such. And that's how they come up with this thing. But he's been pretty accurate. But hopefully we won't get a storm like, or a season like 2004. So what do you need? I'm just going to list a lot of things, and there's a lot more. It's just to get you to think about it. You need a good radio. You need batteries. You need flashlights and candles. Hurricane lamps, good, because they can operate well even in the wind. You need matches so that you can light your candles and your hurricane lamp, or you've got to have something to light it with. You need food, and I mean food that will not spoil. Freeze-dried food. Emergency food supplies are great these days. You know, you can get all these prepackaged meals, and all you need is to make sure you have water and a way to boil water, and you can make a decent meal, and you can live on that stuff for a while. But you need food, and you're not going to have any food when everything goes bad if you're in a situation where nobody can get to you for a number of days. Just think of a big city, even. When devastation is massive and buildings collapse and roads get closed, it takes a while for anybody to get to you. So you need to be able to handle and take care of your family for that time. If you got food, and above all, you need plenty of water. So you need to get in some bottled water and keep it handy so that you've got it when you need it. First aid. Got to have first aid kit. You know, you need the standard things for cuts and bruises. And I'll tell you something that I always recommend. Tarps, bug spray, disinfectant, duct tape, and mosquito netting. It gets hot when the power goes out. Sometimes you might want to go out. If you live in a place where you have a raised deck, and I always recommend that in Florida because of the prevalence of snakes when the water rises, if you have a raised deck, you can always put a couple of posts up on it and drape mosquito netting over it and sleep out under the moonlight. If you've got an air mattress, it works. You get much more air because inside a house, when the air is out, you really don't get much airflow. And after hurricanes, generally the wind kind of dies out for a couple of days. It's like the storm sucked everything out of everything around it. And when it's really still and humid, you can't take it in the house very long. I mean, some people do, but it's tough. It gets ugly. Okay, tools. Of course, duct tape is probably the best tool you need. The reason I mention tarps, because if your home has a section of roof that gets a hole in it, maybe a tree pushed through, you can always cover it with tarp until you get repairs done. You remember, after a hurricane, a lot of people need repairs, so you got to wait a while, and insurance has to look at it. And so you want to protect whatever happens from the elements afterwards, because as sure as I'm here, it's going to rain in a couple of days and you're going to be in a mess if you don't have some way to protect those things. Need gasoline for your car, because if the pumps go out, I always say make sure you fill up your tanks before a storm comes so you got a little bit of gas, because when the pumps go out, you can't get any. You need some cash because the ATM machines aren't going to work. And if you want a way to clean yourself up, like me in the country, what we do, the easiest way, we store bottled water for drinking, of course, and for cooking, but we have a huge cattle tank. You know, it's for cattle use to drink out of, and we fill it to the brim, and we put a chlorine float in it to keep the water clean, and then you can skim it if you get leaves and things in there, it keeps it clean, but for purposes of personal hygiene, it'll work. You can take a bucket, dump it over your head, go out in a bathing suit if you have to, and lather up, clean up. And it's not as good as a shower, but let me tell you what, when it's 85 degrees and the humidity is 70% or higher and you have to do yard work and stuff while you're waiting for the power, it does wonders. So that's just something we've found over the years that works very well. The reason I mentioned disinfectant and those things is because it's kind of hard to clean things. And if you don't have water, the Clorox wipes and things like that are always good. They help. And let your family and friends somewhere else know that you are okay. If you're going to leave the area and go, let them know where you went also so they know what's going on. Because people worry about you. I remember that one storm, I wasn't able to call my sister for a few days, and she was very worried when I finally got in touch with her. I had talked to her the day before just to tell her the storm was coming, but, of course, we lost our phone connections at that point. So just little things like that, think about them. They're very important. And there's lots more. I would suggest at this time that you make yourself a list and you think about the things you might need. And what you do is you just gradually pick up a few things here and there as you go, so that when you get to the point where the weatherman says, in 48 hours, we're going to get smacked with a big hurricane, you're not in a panic, and you don't run down to Lowe's or Home Depot and find they're out of everything, because that's a problem that often happens. So that's kind of where we are, folks. It's part of life. Pardon me. It's part of life, and you got to live with it. So be ready, because if you're not, you're going to be upset. The people that are there to help you are never going to be able to help you the way you want because they're too busy. There are too many other people that are in worse shape than you are, believe me. And people are dying. All kinds of medical emergencies are going on. So you're just going to have to wait your turn. And it's not much fun if you're hungry and thirsty. So just points to the wise. And I thought it was worthy to bring up because today being the 17th day of May, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the hurricane season, and it can be a very long one. Anyway, folks, words to the wise. That's my show for today. And speaking of my shows, folks, I broadcast a lot of shows on Blog Talk Radio, and I keep them on demand, and there's a lot of subjects. I cover everything from animals, my love of God, politics, nature, even hurricanes. So I hope you'll listen. Hope you find something of worthwhile for you. You can look through them all and pick out ones that you might want. And if you see something you like, let people know about it as well. I'd appreciate that. You can find them at blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. That's blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. And you also might want to check out my website, NorthFloridaWriter.com. I have a blog which I put new material on at least every other day, and sometimes more frequently. And you might find something there you like as well. Anyway, folks, I hope you're having a wonderful day. It's a morning where we're going to get some rain, which we dearly, dearly need, so I'm very, very glad of that. And it'll be an indoor day today. But you take care, folks. God bless you all, and God bless the United States of America. And on that nation, we're going to close out with Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA. Have a great day. Hope you tune in again soon. Bye now.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this.